Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk.
And now,
broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH, here's your host, Matt Russell.
Oh, fellow foodies. And in fact, I start the show every Saturday saying fellow foodies. I need to say today, fellow rule breakers, because we are broadcasting live from what they call a refuge for rule breakers. And if you want to come on down and help us break some rules on this Saturday afternoon, join us for this live broadcast right here, right now, from Culinary Dropouts at the Grant Road Lumberyard, just east of Tucson Boulevard. We got free games in the yard, cornhole, shuffleboard. We got ping pong, free live music. We're going to have a live band calling in just a little bit later on tonight. We got a paper bag beer special. That means you come up to the bar, you say, give me a beer in a bag. They give you a mystery can of beer in a bag, only charge you $1.95. That's how it rolls at Culinary Dropout, the venue for this week's most delicious hour on radio. Well, speaking of delicious, we've got a guy here who has never occupied the coveted celebrity co-host seat before. We think he's ready. He's auditioned. It's been an excruciating process. He's been up all night waiting for this moment. He is the area manager for the Heritage Division of the Breakthrough Beverage Group. Put your hands together for my good friend, Greg Shepherd. Greg, what's going on, man?
Oh, that's way too nice of an introduction for me. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, Absolutely. I mean, you were thinking about all the great news happening on the local libation scene.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of paths go different ways, but you guys at Breakthrough are just killing it these days. But before we dive into the Breakthrough news, let us hoist our pint glasses high like the beer champions we are. We've selected the Roadrunner Red from Dillinger Brewing Company. We're going to be talking a little bit about that. Oh, and look who's getting into the toast. The classy alcoholic is here, ladies and gentlemen. All getting into the action, but let's have a tug of this. Oh, that's just a beautiful,
just
gorgeous, just We're actually going to be talking to Eric Seip here in a few minutes about the Dillinger Brewing Company and about the Roadrunner Red, which they just are just they keep changing out kegs almost hourly of these suds. But anyway, get us caught up. What's going on at Breakthrough Beverage these days, man?
You know, I'm going to start off a little more bougie than the dollar bag and beer for you today. I want to talk about some things we've been doing out here in the Tucson market. And, specifically with Fox Restaurant Group.
Right on.
Last night up at North Modern Italian at La Encantada, we had an incredible wine dinner. Il Boro from Tuscany.
Yes.
This winery is owned by one of the fashion moguls of the world, Salvatore Ferragamo.
Oh, my gosh.
Of Italy. And he actually came into Tucson last night and graced us with his presence up at the dinner. So
it's like a bucket list moment.
Oh, my gosh. It was incredible to have him sitting there. Such a nice man. And we tasted some incredible wine with some incredible local Italian fare.
Oh.
Yeah, the general manager up at North, his name is Vito Paolo.
Oh, everybody knows Vito.
just a connoisseur of traditional Italian food. And the dinner last night, just going for those regional connections, really fresh, organic. It was incredible.
I love when North does those pairing dinners. They do this a series of community dinners. They do these pairing dinners. I just love when the chef and the winemaker can kind of get together, and you as a distributor, get together and talk about what can really come from a blank canvas to pair, like you said, local-driven food cuisine with these world-class wines.
Yeah, they really go for pairing. You know, last night was all about Tuscan wine, Sangiovese. They really went with local Tuscan cuisine to pair with the wines, and that's what they do up at North. They really match that local Italian fare with whatever, wines you're producing at the time, at the time.
When you and I met for the first time, it was at a wine event, and I was doing my best to drink nearly every bottle that was there available for me.
I think you cleaned out my table,
Matt. I say that with great pride. Now, are you pretty much just on the wine side of things at Breakthrough, or are you covering the world of beer and spirits as well?
No, thank you for that transition. No, absolutely. We do a ton of spirits at Breakthrough Beverage. We have, some of the biggest spirit brands that you see in the bars today, one of which is, of course, the iconic Jack Daniels.
Oh, pioneering in the whiskey space.
Right. Huge. Probably number one whiskey sold in the U.S.
Is that right?
I believe that it is. Yeah.
Wow.
More carried in more bars than any other U.S. whiskey.
And I'm happy, again, to contribute to Tucson's position high on the charts for Jack consumption.
Help us with our depletions. Yeah, this week, Jack Daniel's actually in the state of Arizona. Rye whiskey has been on the trend. Rye whiskey is hot. A lot of rye whiskey here at Culinary Dropout.
Right on.
Jack Daniel's this week launching their rye whiskey in the state of Arizona.
Okay, so traditionally known for their sour mash. A lot of people say, I love Jack Daniel's because I like great bourbon. We always have to say, you know what? It's not technically a bourbon. It's a sour mash.
You are absolutely right.
But you're going right into that rye. So when we're thinking about the grain that the rye is, actually brings a little bit more of an element of a spice to
yes.
the spirit than a more conventional kind of corn-forward bourbon.
Exactly. You know, you have your bourbons, which are, of course, by law, 51% corn.
Right.
Right, and a rye whiskey, just by the definition, 51% rye. Rye, a much harder grain to work with.
Hmm.
And if you want to think about rye whiskey this way, think about, you've eaten cornbread before.
Oh, yes.
Nice, sweet, buttered, delicious. Think about rye bread. You know, much darker, spicier, and you can kind of put that directly into the translation of the whiskey. Spicier, more robust kind of whiskeys. And Jack Daniel's this week has joined with all the other popular rye whiskeys out there, the Bullet Bourbons of the world, Bullet Rye.
We're beautiful.
We're part of the mix now.
I find myself drinking more ryes as we kind of leave summer behind. I mean, Greg Shepherd, we're getting into whiskey weather, right?
Whiskey weather. It is cold out there. Well, not cold yet. Cold other places in the U.S. Cool here in Tucson, right? So by 10 o'clock, maybe at night when it gets down past 65, you can pour yourself a nice rye whiskey here.
Now, I want to ask you, personally speaking, when it comes to rye in terms of the protocol, like if I wanted to channel my inner Greg Shepherd one night out by the fire drinking my rye, am I one cube? Am I a full glass of rocks? Am I doing it neat? Am I doing three fingers? Walk us through how you approach the rye that gets your nod on a beautiful Saturday night in Tucson.
You know, because rye whiskey is so robust and so spicy, you know, it's great with a rocks or neat if that's your style. But really, rye whiskey self lends itself to cocktails perfectly because the spiciness of this whiskey will not lose itself when you, you know, pair it with other ingredients on the bar.
I love it.
So if I was going to do it, you know, switch up your bourbon Manhattan to a rye Manhattan and see how that works out.
I'd love
you.
To do that side by side, actually.
What we should order it right now.
We should get it going. We're talking to Greg Shepherd. He's our celebrity co-host here for the full hour. He is the area manager of the Heritage Division. I mean, what is it like to basically oversee Heritage? I mean, that's like some serious stuff.
I know. Everything, we have about 300 to 400 wine brands and about 100 spirit brands under this, so a lot
under
of products.
In the Heritage Division?
In the Heritage Division.
Now, have you tasted through the entire Heritage portfolio?
I do it once a week, religiously. Yeah.
Anyway, how can people find you? For more information about Breakthrough, to familiarize themselves with your portfolio?
Absolutely. You know, Breakthrough is a beverage wholesaler. So we, you know, every bar, restaurant, resort that you go into around town, we have a team of beverage specialists that are out every week showing these people what's hot, what's new in the world of wine and spirits. So really, just by going out, coming to places like Culinary Dropout, like North Modern Italian for Fox Restaurant Group, you know, you're going to be able to experience these new things there. So retail shops and where we're sitting right now.
And just think of some of your favorite brands. And if I was a betting guy, I would say that they are partners with Breakthrough. Anyway,
absolutely.
Greg Shepherd, hang out with us. We got a whole hour to go through.
I'll
eating and
around.
Drinking our way. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Matt Russell here. And I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road. Or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778. Rise and shine, fellow foodies. It's time to wake up and start your day the right way. with a craft cocktail, of course. Wait, what? Yes, our friends at the Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro in Northwest Tucson are giving all of us a great reason to get out of bed in the morning with their Wake Up Happy Hour, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10 a.m. Get happy with some small breakfast dishes and cocktails for only $6 each, like their sweet potato fries topped with an egg and homemade sausage gravy paired with the girls' award-winning 24-carat margarita. Oh, yeah, that's the one made with the real organic carrot juice. Talk about a hefty helping of happy. Choose from a range of dishes and signature cocktails and have fun making the most out of your morning hours at Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, voted best place to eat gluten-free on North Oracle Road just south of Rudisill.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of happiness here at Culinary Dropout at the Grant Road Lumberyard just east of Tucson Boulevard. Again, we got all kinds of great stuff happening. We've got the paper bag, probably proper as well, paper bag beer special. Come on here, order a mystery can of beer. They're going to throw it in a paper bag and send you on your way for only $1.95. They do that all the time. Come on out and visit us here at Culinary Dropout. We're here again with our celebrity co-host from Breakthrough Beverage. The Honorable Greg Shepherd is back with us. Having a good time?
Yeah, I got my bag beer in a bag here. We're ready to finish the show out.
I mean, that's almost how the classy alcoholic rolls.
Of course.
No, it wouldn't be a paper bag. It would be a canvas bag. Whoa. It would be a leather bag. He would pull it out of a Louis Vuitton bag. Anyway, we started this show hoisting pints of the Dillinger Roadrunner Red, and I had to get this guy on the show because he's not been here yet to talk about local craft beer. He is the owner and general manager of the Dillinger Brewing Company. Put your hands together, everybody, for my friend Eric Seip. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you very much for the introduction.
Well, I gotta say, man, congratulations for your like early and strong success. I mean, how long have you guys been open down there?
Just a little bit over 9 months now.
So not even a year.
Nope.
And so help me understand something, Eric Seip. You guys have not even been open a year. You got a call one day from Fox Restaurant Concepts, a company that owns and operates and manages over 60 restaurants in something like 15 states.
Yeah, that's correct.
And they call you saying, I want to have a conversation with you about your beer because we're opening Culinary Dropout, and we think we want to have you on a handle.
So I get an email from the beverage director of all of Fox Concepts. So instantly I freak out, send him something immediately back as quick and professional as I can, saying, please let me know when you want to come down. We can do a tasting for you, and I'd love to show you around the brewery, give you a tour.
So that must have been Matt Snap.
That would be correct.
So you had a little Snapchat.
Indeed.
Oh!
So
you can't write this stuff, Greg. Anyway,
He tells me that, he's going to be coming down, and he'll let me know what he thinks. Doesn't follow up. Doesn't let me know when he's going to be in the brewery. And then I get a guy coming in on a Saturday, orders a flight of all of 10 beers, takes a little sip of each one, and then leaves. And then he swipes his credit card. I give it back to him, and I look at it afterwards and saw the name Matt Snap.
Oh, my gosh. So he didn't – I mean, there was not like the Secret Service that shows up in advance,
nope.
Sweep the premises, announce the arrival of Matt Snap. He went incognito.
Completely.
To have a legitimate and an authentic experience tasting your beers in a way like everybody else would like some of us normal people.
That's correct. So I wasn't able to guide him in any way towards which beer we thought he would like. He made the decision completely on his own. And when I saw that he came in, I sent him a follow-up email saying I – noticed you stopped by my brewery. I hope you liked the beer. Let me know if you're still interested in putting us on tap. And then, he chose the red.
I got to tell you, that is such a great story. And I think a testament to the hardworking local, small business, local craft brewers. I mean, this is a big arrival moment for you. True. And you've got so many of them over the last 9 months. Now, you say at Dillinger Brewing Company that you brew beer that is reflective or representative of the culture and the values of Tucson.
That's correct.
Now, I'm drinking this Roadrunner Red. How does this beer represent the values and the culture of this community that we all live and love in?
So I'd like to say that it's more about how we go about operating business than anything else. Like, sure, we try and use as many local ingredients as we can. So in our honey porter, we use local honey from Marana. In our wheats, we use wheat from BKW Farms. Mm. But for the most part, I'm from Tucson. I'm born and raised here. I'm second generation. I have a niece here now. So I got three generations of my family living in Tucson, which is pretty good for this city. So I understand that these places, it's a lot of mom and pop stuff. It's business owner to business owner. So when I'm calling people up, I'm speaking directly with somebody who's from here, who cares about the city, and who wants to know that the person that they're buying beer from is kind of thinking the same way that they are, you know? Yeah. Let's all support each other.
Tied into the community.
Totally.
Absolutely.
And that makes a big difference when it comes to, you know, selling product, because not only are they having a conversation with someone about a beer, they're having a conversation with one of the guys that help brew the beer.
That's right.
So you're really tapping in, no pun intended, into the wisdom. He's, you know, Greg's going to bring a snare drum and a cymbal next time to the conversation. But what a great story, because, you know, it's so grassroots. That's what I love about the craft beer community here in Tucson. It's grassroots, whether you're driven largely through sales from the tap room or whether you're on handles all across the community. It really is about a conversation between a business owner and a customer, and that really is the heart of really what makes this community so great.
That's right. You know, when you look at the other breweries in town, it's pretty much the same story. You know, people aren't doing this because they think it's a get-rich-quick scheme. They're doing it because they love the city and they love the beer.
What do you love about the Roadrunner Red, by the way? I mean, I'm nearly halfway through with my first pint. There'll probably be three more to go before the hour's up. Greg, what do you think?
At least, yeah. I think I need another one. I'm almost out.
What do you love about this beer, man?
So we made this beer with the idea in mind that this is going to be one that you can sit and have two or three or four or five of, you know, and
not being able to. Red.
Exactly.
What a lovely coincidence, yeah.
So, we really wanted this to be our most accessible beer, you know. Some craft beer, you know, you can get a little out there. Gozas, a lot of adjuncts. So we just wanted one that's going to be very simple, very accessible to the general population, and some of that tastes really good.
So you're not using celery tincture in this particular beer?
Correct.
No disrespect to the celery tincture craft brewers. I know you're out there, and I love you all. Where's Dillinger Brewing Company located? How can people go learn more about you?
So we are on Oracle Road in between Roger and Prince. The exact address is 3895 North Oracle. Real tucked away, real hard to find, so you got to search your way for it.
And how many beers do you have on tap there at the tap room?
We have 10 beers on tap and one cream soda that's non-alcoholic. So
I just saw that on Instagram.
It's delicious.
It's like isn't there like a pumpkin cream
pumpkin
soda?
Spice cream soda.
Ooh. So now can you bring the kids and
that's correct.
So they can do their little craft beverage sipping while mom and dad do it their way.
Exactly.
Hours of operation for Dillinger.
Monday through Thursday, 2 to 9, Friday, 2 to 11, Saturday, 11 to 11, and Sunday, 11 to 9.
There it is. What's your favorite beer on tap right now? And I know that's like the most difficult question to answer, but the one beer that you think is representative of the Eric Seip style and psychology and, you know, humanity.
What's the one beer? Goza
Rosa. The Goza Rosa.
Goza Rosa. It is a traditional Goza, so a sour beer brewed with sea salt and coriander, and we added 6 pounds of pureed blackberries.
Of course you did. Go see my friend Eric Seip at the Dillinger Brewing Company. Where can they find you online?
Online at www.dillingerbrewing.com.
Eric, we're going to continue sipping our way through this hour. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Congratulations again on your strong success.
Cool. Thank you very much for having me, Matt.
We're going to take another quick commercial break and thank a couple more of our valued sponsors. And when we come back, Ryan Justinson is in the house, and he's shaking up some killer cocktails in this live broadcast from Culinary Dropout. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Don't you dare.
Summer is here, fellow foodies, and Chef Victor Padilla has designed a fresh new menu that celebrates the flavors of the season at one of my favorite Foothills eateries, Commoner & Co. This exciting menu is inspired by Victor's own dedication to the kinds of dishes that are visually overwhelming, yet easy and approachable on the palate, like his new sea scallops that have already become a house favorite with roasted cauliflower, root vegetable chips, cauliflower puree, and a citrus Calabrian gremolata. It is a work of art. Or his airline chicken, a playful twist on the famous poultry dish that he slow simmers in butter and bacon fat. I know, right? And to quench your thirst, General Manager Kim Kaiser has curated a brand new cocktail menu that's all about light and bright, like the Starshine Surprise, anchored by a beautiful bourbon, fresh grapefruit and strawberry, and a hard cider reduction. Now that's my kind of summer sipper. The flavors of summer are being served up now at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Kolb. I'll see you there. It's all about fresh. ultra premium, first cold press. And trust me, these distinctions make a world of difference in extra virgin olive oils. And some of my favorite flavors of the world are now on tap at Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. Stop in today to learn what the Southern Hemisphere tastes like. From the mild Arbosana from Chile, a delicate oil with notes of green almond and banana, to the Picholine from Australia, a big and pungent oil that delivers loads of spice and pepper on your palate. Sample more than 20 gourmet olive oils in Alfonso's portfolio, along with a delicious lineup of aged balsamic vinegars that will transform your home into an Italian marketplace. And while you're there, discover some great gift ideas for your next party, try out some fun kitchen accessories, and sign up for their series of community cooking classes and other special events throughout the year. Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics on the southeast corner of River and Campbell and the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee. And don't forget, as Tom and Nancy Alfonso say, taste first and buy when the excitement becomes overwhelming. See what they're pouring today at alfonsooliveoil.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
Rule breakers rejoice. You have come to the right place if you are sitting with us right now at a refuge for rule breakers. It's Culinary Dropout at the Grant Road Lumberyard, again on Grant Road just east of Tucson Boulevard. All kinds of great specials happening, free games. We got some free live music coming up. You got your paper bag beer special, again only $1.95. Get some mystery.
What I'm drinking all day.
Mystery can of beer dropped into a paper bag and you're on your way. Speaking of on our way, Greg Shepherd is on his way through another cocktail. I like the way you roll, dude. You're like, there's
12 ounce curls.
We only have an hour, and we're like putting it down. Anyway, speaking of great cocktails, when you're thinking about Culinary Dropout, you know, the cocktail experience is just as important as the experience with the cuisine, because I think the cocktails tell a kind of story.
Absolutely.
And in your business, don't you want what you're drinking to actually have a journey, a story of its own?
Yeah, you know, the cocktail, it has to reflect, you know, the location that it is here at Culinary Dropout. We're not going to serve the same cocktail we would, you know, at a country club up in Oro Valley. It's going to be different down here. Has to have a sense of place. And I think all these cocktails do.
Well, our next guest is very comfortable at his own sense of place because he is the bar manager and the assistant general manager here at Culinary Dropout. A standing ovation is due for our good friend, Mr. Ryan Justinson.
Hello, hello.
Ryan, what's going on, brother?
Not too much, guys. How are you?
Not too much. I mean, he delivers a cornucopia of color, drops him down on the table, and he says, ah, it's just another day at the office, right,
Greg? It's a regular day here.
You know, I got to say, you guys have been open, what, 3 weeks? No,
just about 3 weeks.
About 3 weeks. And you guys, I mean, I understand, like, the first week is, like, crazy, and then things get back to normal. You guys haven't shown one sign of slowing down since
you
opened.
I don't know if that getting back to normal thing's going to happen here, but
right.
we're enjoying the business so far.
You know, we talk about this place being about rule breaking, and this is a refuge for rule breakers. What does that mean when it comes to shaking up and presenting a memorable cocktail? How are we going to be breaking the rules in the world of mixology when we start tasting what you brought out for us today?
Well, you know, you can go to a lot of craft cocktail places and get drinks that are a little bit out there, a little bit obscure. And so what we wanted to do at Culinary Dropout is take a regular classic cocktail and just kind of mix it up slightly.
Oh, I love it.
So, you know, you have your mules that we have on the menu. And just take a Moscow mule, and we're just going to turn on its head a little bit.
Mix it up. And how do you do that?
Well, we're going to make our own ginger agave nectar here in-house. We're going to use some different ingredients. We're going to put some tequila in a mule instead of vodka. Just kind of switch things up and really kind of make it our own.
I dig that. So you have this idea of what a mule would be, but you're not ready to experience the, you know, the Ryan Justinson twist until you sit down and take one of these down.
Right. You've already had 10 mules. You got to come here and have
exactly,
one with tequila.
Exactly. Different. You can get a Moscow mule anywhere. You can't really get an El Matador anywhere else. So.
An El Matador.
Yes.
And that's what that's the cocktail? Which
this
one of these is the El Matador?
This one right here in front of you.
All right.
That is going to have Gran Centenario Añejo tequila in there. It's going to have a little bit of that ginger agave syrup that I spoke about earlier. And then we're going to do a burnt orange on there as well.
Matt, could you save some for me, please?
Just come in a venti.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, man, I got two or three of those down, man.
Yeah, they're pretty easy to enjoy.
Talk about a sense of place, Greg Shepherd. I mean, this cocktail almost is uniquely representative of the Sonoran Desert. I mean, I'm getting a lot of those local flavors.
Right.
Right? I mean, this is just
sure.
Beautiful.
And what's great about this Culinary Dropout in particular is that, we've spent so much time away from Tucson in terms of Fox restaurants. When we came back, we really wanted to make sure that we highlighted the fact that we're back in Tucson. So we made some cocktails specifically for this culinary dropout here in Tucson. So, you know, we have the Prince of Tucson Gin and Tonic, where we're highlighting the independent distillery's gin. And then we made our own margarita here as well, because if we're in Tucson, you got to have a good margarita.
Okay, so there are six culinary dropouts.
Six culinary dropouts.
Three in the metropolitan Phoenix area?
Correct. And you have one in Vegas at the Hard Rock Hotel, and then you have one in Austin as well.
Okay, so you don't go to the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas and order a Prince of Tucson G&T. They're going to look at you a little weird.
They're going to say, I don't know what you're talking about.
So you can, there are cocktails here that are only available here in the Tucson location.
Exactly.
All right. Well, now, is this did you bring out a Prince of Tucson G&T?
That's the Prince of Tucson Gin and Tonic right here.
Right here. Okay, and I
so
got to say, right off the bat.
We use that barrel-rested gin from the independent distillery, and it really makes this drink.
Love those guys downtown, the independent, you know, Don Northrup and, you know, Trevor and Toby, and it's such a great family.
Yeah,
this
great
doesn't
guys.
Even look like a gin and tonic.
Nope, and that's the best part about it, you know. It's, like I said, a regular classic cocktail that we're going to kind of make our own with.
Mm. Oh, so wonderfully refreshing. And the botanicals are just coming right
exactly.
out.
Exactly, I mean, a little bit of mint, a little bit of orange peel, and then we use a really high-grade tonic, Fever Tree tonic, that we're going to put in there. That really makes a drink as well, I think.
And that,
so.
That makes a difference. I mean, I love the fact that some bars and establishments are going the next step to actually do their own tonic or go find premium tonic.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, we just got to hear from local Tucson Brewery. Now we're drinking cocktail with local Tucson gin brewed right in downtown Tucson. You know, these guys... probably the most prominent Tucson distillery there is, I think.
Yeah, I mean, them, Del Bach, which we have here
oh,
as well,
course.
They're all doing really great stuff here in Tucson.
I've never heard of barrel-rested gin until these guys put this in the market.
You know,
one I've heard of.
And it was kind of new to me as well. And it's the way you rest the gin is the same way you think about when you rest, like, a tequila. So think of, like, a Reposado tequila, how it just has that slight color to it. It has that slight color with this gin as well. So just a little bit of the flavors coming through that barrel are coming in the gin
I
as well.
It.
It's great.
Great lineup of cocktails, some great local beers here, wonderful wines. Happy hour? You guys doing happy hour Monday through Friday?
Happy hour Monday through Friday. We're going to go 3 to 6 on happy hour. You have the paper bags, which we've talked about before. You can also get some double blinds, which is kind of just the next level of that paper bag. So you get your paper bag there, and then you're going to have one of my dropouts come over with a pail full of airline shots, and you're going to select randomly a shot to take out of that as well. So
okay.
A shot and a beer for $5.
Greg and I are doing that right after the show.
Oh, yeah. We are.
Anyway, Ryan Justinson, the bar manager and the assistant GM here, thanks so much for hanging out with us, libating us with love. A quick news break and some more sponsor love. And when we come back, we're going to be digging into this killer menu at Culinary Dropout. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and if your family is like mine, you gotta have a salad with your pizza, right? I mean, I think it's just as important as the wings and the beer. And when looking for standout salads to accompany our pizza pies, we look no further than Tino's. Family-owned and operated for 32 years, Tino's Pizza just launched a new salad menu that features 8 fresh options, including new chicken Caesar, spinach, and caprese salads. And what fine companions they'll make for one of Tino's signature sandwiches, calzones, or pizzas, like the iconic Big Mo, a 20-inch pizza powerhouse that you have to see to believe. If you're looking for an honest and authentic neighborhood pizza joint, do what I've been doing for decades and ask yourself, isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tancaverde Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell and Greg Shepherd broadcasting live from Culinary Dropout at Grant Road Lumberyard. Having a great time. Look, man, we are surrounded by cocktails. We got
There's so much booze on the table, I don't even know what
there
to do.
There is so much booze. You know what? We always love coming to this audience every Saturday at 5 o'clock, and we would not be able to do it, Greg, without the very forward-thinking and loyal support of our sponsors. They come together and make sure that there is always live local radio when it comes to the culinary and cocktail scene right here in Southern Arizona. So please, fellow foodies, I want you to support with your money, with your loyalty, with your allegiance, all of the folks that come together to sponsor this program, Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, Boca Tacos and Tequila, Commoner & Co., Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, Jerry's Cigars, Tino's Pizza, Tucson Foodie, and Russell Public Communications, all stars in their own right. If I do say so myself, I'm nothing without these guys, Greg.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you got to have your sponsors, man. You just ran through them. The page of notes is long. I'm glad you have that many great sponsors. We will have to look at jumping on board with them.
Yeah, right on, right on. Now, look, before we get to our special of special guests. I mean, this is a VIP in a way. Now, he's just going to say, look, dude, don't call me a VIP. I just love food.
I can't even look up at him with all the beautiful food that just got sat down in front of us.
And he's making me tremble just sitting here. And I've never interviewed this guy. But before we bring him on, you mentioned something fun to me during the commercial break about Tucson as a beer city. And there was like a study that came out recently.
Absolutely. I'm an avid reader of the news today. I was looking just USA Today. And Tucson is rated in the top brewery cities in the entire U.S. We are second from the bottom. We're the second to last spot. But
we're there.
There are some heavy hitters on this list. All the cities in, Colorado, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Seattle, Chicago. And we're rated up there with these cities per capita, how many breweries we have to the population. So, I mean, we're a beer city.
I love that. And, you know, and I'm asked this question all the time. Matt, when do you think we're going to hit the saturation point in Greater Tucson when it comes to craft brewers? And I look at them like they're nuts.
You know, I kept thinking we already hit it. And we've already broken that barrier four or five times, so I don't have the answer anymore. I'm just going to keep drinking until it hits.
We're going to do what we do well, and I think there might be two or three more brewers open before this show is
over.
You're
probably right.
But anyway, so this guy, as I said, he's here. He's in Phoenix. He's everywhere. He's global because wherever there's a memorable culinary experience happening, I think that Eric Cyrie is at the heart of the conversation. And here he is, the brand chef for Culinary Dropout across the galaxy. Our good friend Eric Cyrie is here.
Thank you.
Eric, I don't even know where to start, man. I'm like, I showed up. We're going to be talking to Jesse Bright today. Jesse's, you got an entirely packed house. I learned that you just happen to be in Tucson. I'm saying, pinch me. I get to interview Eric Cyrie. What have I done to deserve this?
I think the honor is all mine, but thank you very much. Jesse's really busy in there, so I figured I would come and just kind of talk about the brand and answer any questions you have.
All right, well, are you ready for this? I mean, you've got Greg Shepherd and Matt Russell. We're going to pepper you.
Okay.
With questions. Have you practiced up all night?
I have not. We're just going to go off the cuff.
I dig it. Okay, before we get into the Culinary Dropout story, let's find out where your story began. So, I mean, when did you kind of decide that you were going to commit your professional existence to the culinary arts? I mean, were you a babe at the mom's apron string tugging as she was making griddle cakes in the kitchen? Where did it start?
100%. I grew up on a farm, and so I had a lot of respect for food and animals growing up, and my parents were just very open about that and kind of taught me a lot. And then as soon as I kind of got on my own, I knew this is what I wanted to do, and I've been pursuing this dream my whole life. So
I love that, Greg. I was born and raised with a respect for food and animals.
I mean, where was the farm? I'm born and raised on a farm here locally?
No, in a small town in Iowa.
A town
has a population of about 1,100 people.
What's the name of the town?
Denver, Iowa.
Denver.
Yep.
Denver
Eric
was
Cyrie,
on the beer list. Different Denver.
Different Denver.
I think.
Much, much different Denver.
I mean, Eric is the pride of Denver, Iowa. I'm sure the picture of you at the airport. But you kind of you translated this passion, this love, this respect,
right,
into an actual career.
I did. I was very fortunate. I moved to Arizona in 2007, and was lucky enough to meet some people at Fox Concepts, and I've been with them ever since.
Wow.
So I've been with 4 brands for Fox now, and I've been with Culinary Dropout for about 5 years.
Which brand were you, any other Tucson brands were you associated
with? No, never in Tucson. California and Phoenix mostly.
Okay, great. Well, we love having you here.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I mean, this town is all abuzz about Culinary Dropout, really preserving the historic backdrop to the Grant Road Lumberyard, the Howard family.
Yes.
So important to be part of that story as well, right?
And it was important for us too, and you know, Sam being from here, he really wanted to pay as much homage and respect to this town as possible because, I mean, this town means as much to him as it means to you guys.
I absolutely love it. We actually talked with Ryan Justinson. By the way, he did great.
Good.
Because he brought cocktails.
Right.
And you brought food, so you're doing just as well.
I did.
But we talked to him about this idea of rule breaking and how Culinary Dropout has kind of been called a refuge for rule breakers. And Ryan talked to us about what that kind of meant in a glass when you're thinking about a rule breaking cocktail. When we're thinking about the menu here, the cuisine at Culinary Dropout, how are you guys breaking the rules and what does a rule breaking dish look like here?
Especially in this day and age, I think it's really easy to kind of get trapped in a box and maybe not prepare everything from scratch that you could. It's a lot. I guess the rule breaking that we're doing is that we're going to stay true to the craft, and we're going to make everything from scratch from whole foods, and we're not going to buy anything pre-done and take the easy way out.
That's difficult to do in an operation this size. I call in a lot of restaurants around town, and I was talking to some of the people that work here. How many people do you have running around in that kitchen right now?
Right now, about 45.
45?
I mean, 45 people. That's more people than most restaurants have employed for the entire evening back and front of house.
Right.
This is a serious operation.
It takes that. I mean, there's about 2 hours a day that there's not a back of the house employee there.
And it's fun because I love the fact that there's still this exhibition architecture to the experience. So you can kind of come and have a fun meal, but you can actually watch these 45 people.
Yes, you can.
They're dancing. There's this choreography back there, and it's kind of fun because you watch Jesse do his thing. And Jesse's a star. And he knows how to communicate with his staff without saying a word. I mean, they know his facial expressions. They know his body movements. They know when an eyebrow goes up, someone better be held accountable. You know?
Absolutely.
I love that. I mean, and that's just kind of how the culinary arts work, right?
Yeah, and I mean, with us spending 14 hours a day together, 7 days a week, to make this happen right now, we get to know each other on that level, and so we don't have to scream a lot. We just know when something's wrong, and we better fix it, and, you know, that's kind of the beauty of what we do.
Now, what goes through Jesse's mind when he sees Eric Cyrie walk in the door? I mean, what happens? Do they all snap to attention?
Yeah, oh, crap, I think. No, I mean, I'm really here just to try and coach and give some relief to all the long hours that everybody is working here. So, you know, me being in town is nothing more than just to support and make sure that, you know, they have everything they need, every tool they need, all the resources they need. I want to make sure that all the vendors are doing their jobs and the products where it's at. I try and handle as much behind-the-scenes stuff as possible so that these guys can just focus on delivering every night for the dining room.
Yeah, because you were there once, right? You remember those days when you were working the line, and, you know, you were the line cook and then got the call to be the sous, and then you got the executive call. And you remember what it's like in those early days when those guys are just really working hard to kill it every day.
I mean,
run a scratch kitchen of that size is incredible.
And it's amazing that when you say scratch preparation of food, is rule breaking.
Really scratch.
It's like, that just, to me, seems like it's on its side, because that should be the way the conversation is driven, not the exception to the rule.
I know, and we really want to push to show people that this can be done on any level, and it doesn't have to put you in the ground and make you lose your mind and all your money and everything else, and the guests can still come have fun. And, you know, that's why we go a little bit out of bounds with some of our dishes, and we put our own spin on things. But what we really want is we want people to come here and have a nostalgic feeling that, you know, my mom used to make meatloaf. Oh, my God, they have meatloaf. You know, I grew up eating fried chicken. And, you know, some of the things that I really try and incorporate in the menu are just stuff that I always grew up eating over and over again. And I want people to have that same feeling when they eat it.
Talk a little bit about your menu. I mean, how is it put together? I mean, when we come in here, you guys have been open, for like 3 weeks, we heard?
Yep.
And we're kind of putting together our own choreography as we come in. We begin at the top of the menu and work our way through.
Right.
Give our listeners a sense of how the menu is kind of put together and maybe what some of the show-stopping items are as we now celebrate 3 weeks of business in Tucson.
Yeah. What we find kind of unique and fun is that we want you to be able to come in, grab a great craft cocktail, and then really check out our antipasti menu and, you know, enjoy some of the snacks that aren't traditional. You know, a lot of places that you go, you kind of just get a board of cheese and some not great salami and, you know, maybe a little bit of mustard that came out of a jar. And, you know, we have some really fun snacks, like even the asparagus isn't just asparagus. We try to put a twist on that. And we've got some great beets with goat cheese and just pork rinds and, you know, things that we know that people are going to enjoy. They give it a chance.
Right.
And it's a great just shareable plates at the beginning of the meal. So while everyone's still looking over the menu, they can get these quick snacks, share them with everybody at the table, have fun, talk about food. And, you know, after that, we really just want you to pick out what speaks to you the most, whether it's a salad, an entree, you know, something heavy, something light. We pretty much have all of it. And we'd love, our desserts are big enough that we intend for those to be shared as well. Because it's very important to us that the meal is interactive, and it's not just everyone staring at their plates, eating as fast as they can, and then leaving. Mm-hmm. You know, we want those shareable courses so that it's all about that. It's about talking and sharing what happened in your day, your week, however long it's been since you've seen the other person at the table, and maybe passing your plate and sharing that too and having enough so that you can do that. So,
because that's the way I was raised.
Right.
You say nostalgia. That's really the emotion that I feel, because the way you just mentioned the experience you want your guests to have is the way that we grew up eating, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You get to, you know, have maybe – correct me if I'm wrong, but some familiar dishes,
yep,
but with a twist on them, you know, a modern culinary twist. And obviously this place, you want to hang out here. We keep selling Culinary Dropout, but there is the yard, as you mentioned, with all the games. So
it's 20,000 square feet.
Right. You got all the food, and then you do want to hang out with your family, friends, everybody here, and, you know, hang out in the yard.
Absolutely. And we want everybody to come. And I think we have a little something for everyone, whether it's private or, you know, a little bit more rowdy with your friends and you just want to stand around and drink, you want to watch the game, you want to sit down and have some more of our elegant food. I mean, we really try and have something for everyone.
We're going to do a little tasting here in
a
second,
but
I got to ask you, there's something on your menu called the 36-hour ribs.
Yep.
I don't understand, Eric Cyrie. I mean, look, I fancy myself a barbecue guy.
Right.
I sometimes do it at home. We got some great barbecue places around town. 36, like 35 hours ain't enough for Eric Cyrie.
Matt doesn't go over 12 hours for his ribs.
Okay.
This is way past the norm. Okay.
Help me get my head around what you're trying to do with that.
I mean, we're trying to slack them very, very slowly. And we leave them in the walk-in kind of uncovered to almost dry age just a little bit for 12 hours.
Nice.
So we do that for 12 hours. Then we rub them with our rub for another 12 hours, and they sit again. And then after that, we slow cook them for 12 hours. And that's where the 36 hours comes from.
I'm speechless. I don't know what to say.
I don't know. A 12-hour rub?
I mean, we even got Roger Hathorn's attention. Roger's over there. He, you know, every time he hears the word ribs, he perks up. And he said, 36 hours, I'm seeing him doing the math. He doesn't understand. But that is just amazing. Now I got to ask you, break down all the ingredients in your rub. Ready, go. He's not doing it.
I'm not going to do that. But there's a lot of traditional stuff, you know, a lot of paprika, salt, pepper, you know, a little bit of cumin, things like that. There's a lot of good stuff in our rub. So, you know, that really just helps tenderize the meat and gives it a good flavor on the inside. We also have a great homemade barbecue that we put on the outside. So we kind of get a double impact, you know?
All right. We're going to have a triple impact now because you brought out three dishes for us to try. Why don't we begin with some foldable finger food while Adam Lippy goes to get us some flatware. we're here, you know, Tucson is the taco capital of the world.
Yes.
I mean, can we just say that?
Yes, we can.
And this is one of the dishes, you know, big, bold, brave move for Eric Cyrie,
you know,
to put a taco on the menu at another Tucson restaurant.
Yep.
But
absolutely.
Here we go.
And this is the only Culinary Dropout with these tacos.
Oh,
so,
wow.
All right. So what do you want a taco to mean? What do you want this dish to communicate? Because, look, great tacos around Tucson. You have taken special care to craft a taco that you want people to be talking about.
Right.
And we're doing it right now.
Yeah.
Talk about these tacos.
You know, we just wanted it to be familiar but a little bit different, as you guys were saying.
Right on.
So, you know, we've got our organic corn tortillas, and then we've just got a little bit of guacamole, which is really simple. Just pico de gallo, some lime juice, and avocado.
Beautiful.
And then we take our meat and we marinate it in ancho chilies and guajillo chilies. Mm-hmm. So pickled red onions, some shaved radish. And, I mean, that's really just simple and forward. A little bit of spice, a little bit of tartness and acidity from the onions, and then just a little bit of sweetness from the guacamole. So,
and I love the way that you've kind of created a pad of the guacamole, the avocado. So it's not diced up and chopped over; it would have fallen off the taco.
Well,
you've actually created a bit of a paste.
I was going to say you have a moisture barrier to protect your house-made corn tortilla.
Yes, and you will need it. I mean, it kind of keeps everything in there for the most part. It's still going to be a street taco, so it's still going to fall out a little bit. But I think that's fun too.
All right.
You know,
I'm going in. Talk about what you're seeing visually here, Craig.
I'll be a good co-host, Matt, and while you're trying to eat, I'll actually say something this time. What is the sauce on the taco? Because I just took a bite while Matt was talking, and you know, it was like a sweet,
lots
almost
of flavor.
Savory, fruit-forward kind of sauce.
So
on there.
The sauce is again, it's like a guajillo sauce, which is a type of pepper.
Okay.
And we have that dried pepper, and we mix that with chipotle and adobe, and some sambal, which is, you know, kind of like a Korean chili paste type of thing.
Yes.
So
that's where it's coming from.
There it is.
A little bit of spice. So
that is delicious.
It's not necessarily all south of the border. We're pulling some spices from across the
pond as well. You might say you're
almost
breaking a few rules.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got to go to a quick commercial break, but tell us a little bit about these other dishes here, and then we're going to dive in.
Yeah. All right. Well, you've got your Korean cap. So it's got really, really strong Korean marinade. Really, really tender. And this is our chili stew that's only in Tucson as well with our homemade cornbread. So green chili stew, lots of pork, four different types of green chilies, and some cornbread, and then, of course, an egg. So we're really excited about all this, and we think these have a lot of flavor, great spice for those that like that. Mm. And anybody should be able to enjoy this and feel full afterwards.
Those Asian flavors on that beef dish, and the way you've charred, you got a little fat,
yep,
a little salt,
yep,
a little char, playing around with those great Asian flavors, beautiful fresh cilantro on top, a little kick of spice at the end, which is just a symphony in my mouth, Craig.
You know what? I got to get this microphone out of my face too, Matt, because this food, I can't control myself for too much longer.
Well, we are going to see if there's anyone in our listening audience that wants to try answering a trivia question to get a gift certificate. You're not eligible, Greg.
I know.
But
I'm
going
to toot my own horn and say I got this trivia question at the beginning, so I hope there's other Tucson locals out there, native Tucsonans, who are going
to
hit this
trivia
question.
They're ready to go. Okay, so we want to know, and here it is. The stakes are high. $100 Fox Restaurant Concepts gift card.
That's like 100 talks.
Right. To the person who can send me the answer to this question. And there's a bonus part of the question, so listen closely. We want to know, in what year was the first Fox Restaurant concept created? So there are 62 Fox restaurants across the country.
Are.
We want to know, in what year was the very first one created? And here's a bonus for another $25. So $125, Greg.
Oh, and you know, one of these answers was said earlier, so I hope you were listening.
Right. And we want to know, name the restaurant. So what year was the first Fox restaurant opened, and what is the name of the restaurant? If you think you know the answer to the question, shoot me a note right now, would you? onthemenulive@gmail.com. Again, onthemenulive@gmail.com. First person in with the right answer is going to get the gift cards, and we are going to say with great gratitude, thank you so much to Chef Eric Sairi, the brand chef for Culinary Dropout. Come see him. You're going to be here for another couple of hours.
I'll be here for months.
You know, to shoot a selfie with Sairi. Get a Sairi selfie. It's a bucket list item for sure.
There you go.
Anyway, Ryan or Eric, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and thanks to our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about what happens in private. What happens in the coop with our good friend Adam Lippy is up next. You're listening to On the Menu Live. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Well, here I am at Boca Tacos and Tequila in their new location on 4th Avenue, and I just ran into Chef Maria Maison. What's up, Chef?
Hola, Mateo. So what do you think? Do you like my new restaurant?
Are you kidding me? It's perfect. Such a great setting for a culinary and cocktail kickback in a totally casual atmosphere. And check it out. I'm surrounded by two of my favorite things, tacos and tequilas, on this great patio.
Oh, lucky you. And you know these are real tacos, made with real food and premium spirits, craft beer, wine to keep the fiesta going.
But what do you mean by real food?
It's all about the elegance, Matt, with gourmet flavors in more than 20 varieties of real Sonoran tacos, with premium proteins, fresh produce, and I promise you will not find sour cream and bright yellow cheese anywhere.
And 7 salsas made fresh every single day, from mild and chill to blow your mind hot, right?
You got it, dude, but enough talking. You look ready for a shot.
I'm in.
Boca Tacos and Tequila on 4th Avenue, just north of 6th Street. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 to 10 and Sunday 11 to 8. Check out their full menu today at bocatacos.com.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell and Drake Shepherd from Breakthrough Beverage, breaking through another hour.
Breakdance beverage.
Have you ever broken dance? Break danced?
Sometimes it's breakdown beverage, but usually we try to keep it happy with breakdance beverage. Yes.
Anyway, we're here making our way through an amazing cornucopia of culinary moments here. So cool to talk to Eric Sairi, man. That was like a big moment for me.
I can't believe he handles that many restaurants and he just happened to be here. That's great.
And he just happened to be here, and we're so excited. We're going to make our way through and we've done a pretty good job with Ryan's cocktails, too.
I don't even see him on the table anymore. And I don't know if they took him away from us because we were abusing them or
not. Well, that's because Roger and Wendy Hathorn took him away. And it looks like they're making their way through the cocktails with great passion. Anyway, there's a guy here that comes to work every day with great passion, because when you think about the Fox story, Greg, when you think about what Culinary Dropout and all the Fox restaurants have that ties them all together, it's hospitality.
Absolutely.
It is the hospitality story, is to come into my home, let me treat you like family, let me cater to your every need. And when you're thinking about catering to the custom and the specific needs of a group that want to actually come in and do something private and special at Culinary Dropout, there's this super cool space.
It's as big as almost, you know, most normal restaurants, their private dining space.
And as a matter of fact, we're broadcasting live right now from the private dining room. And to call it a PDR just seems so inside. It seems so, you know, cold and corporate, which is why they call it the Coop. And we are at the Coop. And there is a guy who gets to come to work every day and share his love of the Coop with this community. And is he our good friend, the special events manager from Culinary Dropout? Put your hands together for Adam Libby. Adam, what's happening? Look at you. Oh, you're blushing.
I am blushing.
You're blushing like this color of our red Solo cups. Yeah. Anyway, you've done radio for 20 years, though, right?
I have, yeah, actually. This is actually my 50th time doing this. So.
I got to tell you, dude, you know, we were here for the series of soft opens.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine who was there with me, actually took him on a tour of the Coop, gave him a sense of the experience that he could have, and on the spot scheduled his son's wedding rehearsal dinner to be right here at the Coop. What does it say about a private space that's going to make someone go from, I want to take a look at a space, to signing a contract on the spot?
Well, I mean, I think the space kind of sells itself. It's a beautiful, beautiful room. We have this awesome wallpaper. We have over 19 tables that can serve 5 guests per table, so about 100 seated, 130 reception.
100 seated?
100 seated.
In a private dining room.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's a huge, huge room. And Fox really put a lot into it. It's a beautiful, beautiful space, so you have to come see it.
And one of the things that I love that you get, you take an idea, and, you know, perhaps people say you might be breaking some rules.
You do.
But whoever thought about a private bar in a private dining room?
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's pretty amazing.
I mean, name another one in town that has its own dedicated bar.
Yeah, I think we're one of a kind here for Tucson, which is what is bringing so many people to it. It's been insane.
So you can seat in this space, in this coupe, which I think is just among the best names and settings for a special event, a private party, a board retreat, a rehearsal dinner. You can seat 100, and what did you say?
It's 100 guests seated, and it's 130 reception. I think we might be able to do 150 with some overflow into the lounge space, but yeah.
You know, and Ryan actually mentioned a little earlier that this space, you know, if it's not booked for an evening like tonight, Saturday night, opening month, the Culinary Dropout, there's going to end up being, you know, a significant wait up at the front. They're going to open this bar up for lounge space, for cocktail space, for people who want to come in and wait for a table.
Very smart.
You don't have to wait outside out front. You can come in and wait in the coupe if it's not been booked. So, I mean, that's so nice.
Very, very smart.
Yeah, it'll be nice for the guests that don't – we don't want them to have to wait up front anymore. We want them to have, you know –
that's right.
Experience,
and so. There's so many ways to wait for the table.
100 people can sit here and wait with cocktails.
Hang out outside in the yard, do a little cornhole, do a little ping pong, come in here into this special space. Now, you said the space sells itself, because it's fun when you have the public come in here. That begins your sales process, because all they got to do is take a look around.
Yeah, they just look at it and they fall in love with it. Everybody is taking selfies with the wallpaper. I can't tell you.
I know.
How many
tell me
people...
about this wallpaper. This wallpaper is amazing.
Yeah, they. I think they have it in the Vegas Culinary Dropout, but they changed the color of it to fit the color scheme for this room. And when I first walked in, to be honest, I was nervous when they were putting it up. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. And then I saw the entire space.
I mean,
filled
I have
with
to describe
like,
this
oh
to people
gosh.
On the radio. This wallpaper has little miniature faces, Prince, Biggie Smalls, Michael Jackson, Jimi Hendrix, all over the walls. What a great piece of wallpaper.
It really is. It's so imaginative. And that really is the thread that kind of weaves its way through everything that's going on here. Now, is this fully built out with AV and every modern facility that folks might need for their special event?
Yeah, definitely. We have 4 large TVs that all connect to one another, full AV. You have your microphone, your private restroom. We have a full private bar, so pretty much anything you need for a large party reservation or event.
And you are off the menu, or can people come and sit down and kind of create what they really want to host for their guests?
Yeah, really, we can kind of do whatever it ranges. Eric Syrie has a lot to do with that part, and him and I work closely, especially with Chef Jesse and Chef Danny.
But you can kind of, I mean, if you want to do a full steak and lobster dinner, you let us give us enough time to get the product and we'll do it for you.
And so what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you to start that conversation, to come see the space, start thinking about what they want to do? How's the best way to reach you?
Email me. Email is the best. Do you want me to tell them my email?
If your server is ready. Have you given a heads up to your server to let them know that they're going to get a...
I need to check my email.
Email address.
It's ALIPPE@foxrc.net.
Do it one more time.
ALIPPE@foxrc.net.
All right, we're talking to Adam Alippi, the special events manager who runs the Coop, wants everyone to come see it. And if you're like me, you're going to see it. You're going to start thinking of all the fun things you could do. Adam, thank you so much for everything you do.
Thank you. Thank you.
Greg Shepard, it's always so much fun when you're having fun. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Me.
If you missed any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website, onthemenulive.com, early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Greg Shepard reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it is On the Menu Live. We'll see you at Culinary Dropout, fellow foodies.